Yo, everyone, it's May, so that means it's Asian month, which means, you know, this month's Hack City is going to be fire. It's happening Friday, May 10th at 7:30 p.m. at Union Hall in Brooklyn. This month, we've got Karen Chi, Brian Park, Julia Shiplett, and some great special guests. You never know who's going to stop by. Tickets available at asiannotasianpod.com and in the episode description, or just Google Hack City Comedy. See you there.
I didn't move to America to do a fucking podcast. And come find me. My tour date's on my... If you're not happy with what I just said, come look for me. My tour date's on my website.
This is the Asian Not Asian podcast, the podcast with all your favorite Asian friends. It's Mike Nguyen.
It's Jenny Arimoto.
And I'm just going to bring him on because we have the rolling start. I don't want to lose like momentum. How do you even call yourself right now?
Just what do you mean? Ronnie Chang? What do you mean?
What do you call you? Like comedian?
Oh, just stand-up. Stand-up.
Yeah. Stand-up?
Yeah.
First and foremost.
Stand-up comic.
Yeah.
All right, stand-up comic. So. Ronnie Chang.
Thanks for having me. I've been watching your clips.
Have you?
You guys are killing it, yeah.
Oh my God, thank
I love
you.
It. I've been a fan since, I guess, the inception of this.
You are a real one, dude.
OG. Yeah.
You are
OG anal fan.
Yeah.
You
we haven't said anal in a while.
Yeah, that's how OG I am.
Yeah, I know.
Give me a sticker or something.
Yeah, you should. You'll be the only one with.
Fumi wanted to make a whole bunch of anal stickers.
That's a bit tough, but if you go Asian, you guys have a fan base though.
Oh, we do. For sure.
You know you do. Yeah,
and we do have old school fan base and new school fan
base. Yes, and it's a very curated fan base.
It is, yeah.
You guys have a good fan base. Your fan base are not nice. Fucking morons. Yeah.
Yeah. Highest compliment.
We do have very, yeah, I feel our fan base went to college and at least got like a certificate afterwards.
project management certification.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or
dude,
HR certification.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true though.
You know,
but you can use that data to target ads, right?
Yeah, for
isn't
real.
That what you guys, what is the, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want young men under 25. I want people who can like operate a server,
you know? Sure, yeah.
that's
operate
the
and maintain a server.
Offer exactly. I'm maintaining servers. I mean, you're so fucking nice to come out here, dude. We're in the middle of Gowanus. People don't realize.
I know.
So fucking far.
I know.
You are so far.
I don't know
away.
Why you chose this place.
I didn't choose it. It chose me.
It chose us. Yeah.
You guys say that,
place.
But
this is the only place. We don't have the access to the other place anymore. I don't think it's around Canal Street Market. Which
why?
It was amazing. I think they're just renovating it. So like, it's not. You know, like there's been some turnover.
Okay, yeah. Guys, you're telling me you can't find a goddamn podcast studio,
dude. This is New York. You know how expensive it is to have a. You know how many people should live in this booth, you know, like 20 people
sure.
should live in this booth.
But of all the okay, I mean, where is your ideal location for a podcast? I don't want
ideal.
Yes,
ideal.
Yes,
my house would be ideal.
I mean, that is Mike says it every episode.
I would love to have a place where I could
in
have
house.
In my house where I could uh-huh. wake up, people come
okay.
over, I make you breakfast, which uh-huh. I do with Jenny sometimes.
Yeah, I yeah. do go over and we record there.
I mean, we record.
What about you? What about for you? Where's your ideal place for a podcast?
I mean, mine would be also like downtown Brooklyn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, it's like central-ish.
So
like,
nobody wants to be here.
Nobody wants to be here. I don't.
I tell you what. I came out when they told me Gowanus. I was like, ah, because I said yes before I found the location,
and then
it was like Gowanus. I was like, all right, I'll go because one, I actually haven't. I don't remember coming here a lot, so I'm like, I probably as someone who's lived in New York for 8 years now, I probably should be. At least familiar with Gowanus.
Yeah.
And then I came okay. down and then I was wearing my Yola Tango t-shirt.
Yeah.
For the first time, by the way.
Okay.
And I go into Blackbird Pies.
Yeah.
And they're like, you is that Yola Tango t-shirt? And I'm like, yes, this is the place to get recognized wearing a Yola Tango t-shirt.
So
This is
where all of the millennials of our age who would wear that t-shirt live now.
Yes,
exactly.
That's where we live now.
Yes, and I'm walking around and it's cool. I do, you know, it's
nice.
A cool part
yeah.
of, yeah, it wasn't that bad. It was like maybe 30 minutes from Manhattan, which is fine.
Yeah.
By train.
Yeah.
I actually don't hate being in Gowanus as much as I thought I would. But,
yeah.
But
now that someone complimented your shirt.
Yeah. But at the same time, you guys should get, you know, just location, just as in
I agree. hear you.
Nothing against Gowanus, but I'm just saying, just for your own commute.
Yes.
You guys should move. And I mean, did you not like Canal Street Market?
Oh, I love Canal Street Market.
I loved it. We don't have the space.
Yeah, with the food there, it's fun.
There's like background noises. I thought it's fun. Makes you feel alive.
Yeah. It makes you feel like we're just hanging out.
Was it a technical problem?
No, no. It's just like literally the booth is not there anymore. It's like, okay. It's like being renovated. There's been turnover there.
I don't think anyone was using it.
That was free, right?
Yeah. It was free and we went there all the time. I know. I know.
I mean, would you do it if, just throwing it out here, if hypothetically speaking, there was a boba shop in Chinatown, Manhattan that had its own actual podcast space?
Podcast boba.
Yeah, we could start.
Would you do it in that boba shop?
Yeah. I think so. And I think we could probably even get, do you know the people who do?
Because I know someone who's about to do that.
Really? Who?
Yeah, yeah.
You? Well,
no, not me.
I guess you can't tell. Okay. But
I can tell you, but then I don't want it to become a referendum on them.
I see, yeah.
So I'll tell you after the show. Okay. But, yeah.
Is it Donald Glover? I was joking. About Donald Glover.
It's not Donald Glover. If it was Donald Glover, it would be a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Is it those people who run Asian Boss Girl?
Don't even ask. I don't even know. I don't know. I don't want to say, and then it becomes, because you guys say your game, and then if I say the name and you guys start hesitating, it's a referendum. I don't want it to become a...
Yeah, fair.
I'm conscious of the politics, but I'm just saying, would you do it in a bubba shop with a dedicated, semi-dedicated podcast space in Manhattan, Chinatown?
Well, there is absolutely no drawback at all to any of the things you've said. Except, and maybe it costs a lot of money. Does it cost a lot of money?
Oh, no.
That's
assuming,
the other thing. It would have to be free. Or
free.
Free cheap,
or
lower
cheap.
Lower cost.
Lower cost, yeah. It would be, because it wouldn't be like the... Again, it's not even my thing, so I can't even say, but it wouldn't be their moneymaker, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So they could do it for the community Are you guys paying for this one?
Yeah, hell yeah, of course we're paying for it.
Yeah, it's nice, though. I mean, man,
no,
I don't know what
to... talk shit about this place all the time.
Don't worry. Oh,
so, yeah, we do.
Yeah. No,
it's nice, though. It's dedicated. It's clean. You walk in here, you literally walk through the door and it's like...
And it's fine. Yeah. And
it's a portal to a different... Because outside on the street is debris and...
There's a lumberyard across the street.
Yeah. And car shops. Then you walk into the podcast studio and outside in typical Brooklyn, it's like, stickers. It looks like inside is going to be like covered in wires. Yeah. But you walk inside, it's clean. Everything's brand spanking new. So I'm down.
I'm glad that we met your very low standards
for this.
I got low standards for podcasts, guys. I've been
perfect.
On podcasts where it's just, man, you guys even try.
You were telling me before that,
that's why I don't do it.
Yeah. You don't do a podcast. I feel you do everything else too. You're an actor. You're like, you got the Daily Show shit. You got stand up, which I'm not even sure how we got you because I think you're supposed to be gone like every single weekend.
Yeah, I happen to be free this week, and again, like I'll do podcasts for friends and for things that I think are cool.
Yeah,
I'll do it if it's cool, but I whatever, come get me, listeners. I didn't move to America to do a fucking podcast. And come find me. My tour date's on my... If you're not happy with what I just said, come look for me. It's my tour date's on my website. Come in the way backstage and come and argue with me about it.
That's what... that's actually... So you've already had a few of the dates already.
Yeah,
right?
I've already
done some.
Yeah.
And that's why I brought you on here is because why wasn't I your opener in New York City? That's right. That's what this is about. This is what this is about. I was... You know what? This is for real. I was texting
shit coming. Why did I come
in? I was texting
front.
So I have a group chat with like a bunch of other Asian comedians, right? And we're all just like, yo, which one of us is the opener? Which one of us is the opener? And then we're all like, not me, none of us. And I was like, Ronnie's left us. And then later on, I looked it up and I was like, okay, I guess you can have John Oliver. Multiple Emmy award winning.
Yeah, that
comedian.
Guy has so many Emmys right now.
Fucking A.
I had John Oliver. I had Trevor Noah. Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Yeah. I guess you want to have those guys rather than Mike Nguyen and Dan Yang and Vic Trent. Although Vic is going on with
Vic,
you.
Vic goes on Romeo a little bit. Yeah, he's the only guy who has no responsibilities.
That's fair.
Everyone else has like families. Yeah,
this Vic is my
good.
Son's fault. No,
Vic is great to travel with. By the way, he's cool.
Yeah, he's the man.
Yeah,
he's man.
And he's still like, I mean, I guess he's what, almost 30.
Yeah,
yeah, I think
yeah.
He 30,
so
yeah.
He's older than he looks now. But I think people underestimate. Again, this is not an indictment on anyone, but just in general, I think comics underestimate. Like how important it is on the road to be able to hang.
Oh, really?
You need to be a hang. If you've never toured before...
Oh, you have to be a hang.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Like, and being able to hang isn't just being nice. Because sometimes being nice is actually a bad hang.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, thank you. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, fuck, man, like, I can't. Yeah, you need to be able to know how to hang. You need to know how to, you know, like, just be easy to deal with, you know? Yeah. And not be always up in people's grill. Right. Like, just go do your own
thing. Be all tense and shit.
Yeah.
You can't be babysat.
Yeah. You can't be babysat, and also you can't be babysitting. Mm. Sometimes you feel like a baby, like they need to babysit you. And
yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Please, we have when you're on the road so much, like you have your own creature comforts.
Yeah.
You know how you want things done. You don't want some alien element coming in and just fucking it up. Yeah. Like Uber XLs only. Don't order the fucking Uber X, and now we all got
squeezed into squeeze
yeah.
In there. That's whack.
You know what I mean? It's fucked. It's, right. Yeah, it's very upsetting.
I feel Vic would be good for you because then he does Muay Thai. So I feel bring some bags, you know?
Yeah, no, we don't even get into that. But there's a whole fight club, Chinatown Fight Club going on with these comics.
I know, seriously. I mean, what do you think that means? There's so much aggression.
A lot of
people
overcompensating men.
Yeah, I know,
fucking,
seriously.
Yeah. Well, Jenny, you should go. They have women there, I think.
Really?
I think.
Is that real?
That's what they tell me. That there's some girls who train there as well. It's a very toxic fight club.
Yeah.
Chinatown. They fight on the street. No, that's what I call it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Toxic Wing Chun Club. I call
it really?
Yeah. We made a logo. It's like a...
No shit.
Yeah, it's like a... You know that... you know the waist biohazard?
Yeah.
Toxic Wing Chun Club, yeah. And then they just go and, you know, fight on the street.
What?
Ed Pokropsky is not toxic. So
he's toxic one.
He cancels out the toxicity. He's the one who's...
He's the one organizing.
He's the one training. So he's not toxic.
Then I trust him. I trust Ed.
Yeah. Ed is great. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you just came off of hosting for this week for Daily Show. How was that? How's it been?
It was super fun. It feels like you it feels like you've been studying for an exam.
Oh shit.
And then you do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you've been studying for an exam for 8 years.
Oh my god.
So when they ask you to do the exam, it's like, oh yeah.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah, you felt like you were ready.
You know how to do it. Like obviously you've never seen the exam before, but you've been studying for it. So you're like, oh, okay. And then that's exactly how it felt like. And I know everyone there and it just
you feel comfortable.
So the only challenge for me doing it is making sure that it doesn't suck.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure that it's satire and not just news with jokes.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I think news with jokes will pay the bills, but I think for the show to be great, it needs to be saying something a bit more than just news with jokes. And I think just being able to, not that I'm the best at that job, but I'm just saying I know what a bad show looks like.
Mm.
And so just trying to avoid making a bad show is really what you're doing the whole day. Because and Jon Stewart said it himself, like when he came back, he said like everyone in this building will the jokes will come. Like that's not the problem here. Everyone here is a master joke writer.
Right.
And then it's just like trying to elevate it to the next thing.
You know?
So that's the challenge of the day. The jokes will come. You give us any dumb news story, we can make dumb jokes about it.
Yeah.
But it's just like, oh, what, you know, what's the satirical point? What's the elevated point of view? Whatever we're trying to say that day, you know?
Oh, okay.
Has it gone like extra hard though? Because like in the last 8 years, the world has become even more insane. Like I feel like it's harder and harder to like almost satirize because it's like satire.
Satire is catching up to reality. Yeah.
You don't even know. Like it's almost to the point where if you played something straight, like that is the satire. Like if there was a Daily Show that was just straight the news, you would be like, this is almost like mind fucking me.
For sure.
Where I'm like, okay, this is actually really funny now.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Yeah,
that's definitely one tone of satire, is to just present the most ridiculous things in a very dry, mundane way.
Yeah,
for sure.
And that, I think that's the tool that we use for sure. Some for some stories.
Right.
I think there's an element to the news being, the reality being so weird that it's hard to satirize. But I think that's also the lazy, untalented people's point of view of comedy and news.
Yeah.
They'll be like, oh, I can make fun. Oh, how do you make fun? It's like, yeah, you can't do it because you have no skill. So, you know, not you. I mean,
people
who say that. People who say that. So, because there's a way to, even if you... like there's a way to satirize it, and I'm not saying we nail it every single time, but there's a way to do, like, you know, I think this week we did the Russian election, yeah, and we covered it like it was, we did a whip where we covered it like it was the American election, so yeah, we made it sound like it was, well, who was gonna have it? Yeah. So that, there's a way to do right? There's always a way to figure it out.
Right, there's always an angle.
You're, I want to get into the thing you said.
It is hard to think of the angle, though. That's where you make your money.
Right.
That's where you make your money, is the angle. It's not, some people are like, some people, so the least skilled people, the civilians who don't know comedy, their idea of comedy is they'll just send you a funny news story, right?
Yeah.
They'll be like, hey, look at this funny news story. Man has diarrhea on plane, blah, 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 right, right? And not that it's not funny, but it's like, oh, that's the no skill.
Right.
Right. And so the next level is making jokes about that news story, right? And then that takes some skill. And that's usually comment section.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We'll have some funny joke about the news article. Mm-hmm. And then the next level is the satirical. What is the, you know, is there something overall you're saying about the climate versus the weather, right? Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. Then that's where the skill, you know, comes. I'm not saying we're the best at any of that, but that's the game you're playing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You want to get to that level every time or whatever. Right. Yeah, yeah. Are there any, I mean, I was watching some of your interviews. Do you, and I know you're trying to do what you just said. Do you ever feel like, cause like you have like these amazing people. You had this author,
Yuval. Yeah.
Yuval Noah Harari.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm glad that you're doing the satire, but also, he's like so smart. Did you ever want to just be like, I want to actually ask you a regular ass question? Because
you
like,
do, but there's room for that in the guest segments. You can just ask a regular question. I try to elevate a bit because I feel like, well, comedically elevated, because I feel like, you know, smarter people are going to ask this guy smarter questions. Yeah. This guy's doing TED Talks on these topics. So let me try to just, you know, find a way to make this a little bit more interesting to me anyway. So that's what it is, you know. You're correct in identifying that the satire with the guests on the show is probably the hardest, because they're like legitimate people.
Yeah.
Have you had interviews where they are like really allergic to the satire?
No, but I'm very new to the interview part. I've only hosted 4-5 shows, so like.
But you've done like a lot of road stuff.
Field pieces are totally different
piece.
That's a totally different animal. Yeah, that's a totally different animal. So field pieces, weirdly enough, they whoever you're interviewing wants to be there.
Yeah,
they're game. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They're game, man. You think you know people are they worried? I'm like, no, they're not worried because they want to be part of this.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. TV, people want to be on TV, man.
Yeah.
And then you kind of give them a platform for their views, and we're not putting words in their mouth. And then, they just go for it. So, the field stuff is totally above the board.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair. All right. Cool. Yeah. You want to ask him some more? You have some.
My second question, which is that, do you ever get sick of comedy, both doing and consuming?
You love comedy, bro.
Do you ever get sick of it?
Stand up. No.
There's never been a
You're
time.
A real one.
Wow.
Man. Yeah.
No. Maybe the closest I got to being sick of it is after doing Edinburgh, because that was like
the Fringe
Festival. That was the last time I did it was 2015, and that was because I was coming off of doing the Melbourne International Comedy Festival in April. And then that's like a month long. You do it 1 hour every day. And then Edinburgh is August. You do 1 hour every day. So that was probably the closest I came to needing, like, not even quitting comedy. I just need a break from it, you know.
Yeah.
And then I got the Daily Show immediately after that. So I was like, I'm just going to focus on the Daily Show. So I guess even that, I was still doing comedy, just not stand up.
Yeah.
Mm. So no, I don't think so.
Wow.
Just love it.
Are you always consuming it too?
Consuming it, not so much.
Okay.
Not so much. I don't consume as much. I don't know. Maybe it's I'm at so many comedy shows. I don't consume as much.
Yeah.
I do. I watch everyone's specials, but the But I don't think I go. I'm more into performing it than watching it. Part of me is scared I'll get influenced. or you know, yeah, and then part of it is also like I see every single night, so
yeah,
I'd rather go and get a different perspective, like, you know, read a book or something,
yeah,
or music, or, you know, musicians and comics are really, because musicians love comedy and comics love music,
yeah,
because it's like we have the same like live performing vibe but different, and you know, musicians are kind of actually sick of music,
yeah,
and then, you know, we're kind of sick of comedy sometimes,
yeah,
and just, you know, of listening to it anyway,
right,
but,
right, yeah.
But performing, no I can do these three shows and three headline spots a night in Chicago. I used to do that. Now it's pretty standard to do two a night. You know, being able to do one a night, one headline spot, is actually like a luxury that I only recently started doing.
Yeah.
And spots, love doing spots in New York. It's, yeah, no, I don't get sick of it. Wow. It's the best.
That's how you know it's like,
that's your jam.
That's like what you're supposed to be.
That's Ronnie's jam. Yeah. Ronnie loves
it's
doing
the best.
Spots.
Yeah. It's the best.
Run around. That's,
it's the best.
Yeah.
It's the fucking best.
You had the whole like your whole thing, and you know, you had a whole bit about like why do you come to New York and do this?
Yeah.
It's because you can tell dick jokes. For
Yeah.
And it's true. I guess like, you know, especially international. I don't know about international now. Maybe they're catching up to New York, but it's
no one's catching up.
On our $10.
No, I don't care what country. Go to China, it's blowing up. Go to you know, Australia has a really good scene. Fuck all of that. I've seen it. I've been there. People don't even know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
New York is not. New York's not even the best in. It's not even the best in. It's the best in the world.
Yeah.
Not even the best in America. It's the best in the world.
Yeah.
No one. Not. No other place holds a candle. Yeah. London can eat shit. the number of spots we have here, and the standard of it, and the proximity, and just the vibe of it, and
so the
stand up comedy here is way better.
That's why people keep coming here.
I know.
Aaron is here.
I know. Everyone comes
Chen
here.
Is here. Yeah.
And
yeah.
You end up here. I feel.
Well, if you're so lucky, you end up here.
Yeah, you're lucky.
And if you come here, like, especially if you come here from somewhere else, like, you know what it's like,
what it's
man.
Like out of somewhere else.
Yeah, you know how much it sucks.
Yeah.
And the ceiling here is like, it's just unlimited. So.
And
all your comedy heroes are here. Not to mention your peers here are like, you know, really good. So you have to keep up. And
yeah,
it's just,
that's true.
Yeah. It's just the best.
Yeah.
It's the best. Like, why wouldn't you want to come here and gig every single night?
Yeah, totally.
Why wouldn't you? It's the best. It literally, yeah, nothing can, I don't know why people, like fame, and money is great, I guess, but the self-expression is
that's
here
the
is
thing.
Amazing.
I always try to tell people who don't know you. I'm like, Ronnie, not to say you would, but you would do this for free.
I probably would do it. I kind of am doing it for free right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, generally, this, you're losing money.
Yeah, you're losing money.
We are costing you an opportunity. You were supposed to do.
I could be lying down.
Yeah, you could be lying down. You could be doing sponsored content for NVIDIA, but instead you're here in Gowanus and you've lost like $5,000. But yeah, I mean, when you do spots, spots are just for the love of it, you know. You get better when you do spots, but really you're doing it for the love of it.
I mean, if you really break down stand up comedy, you're earning less than minimum wage. The amount of time you put in.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Flying around, and then in New York City, running around, you're doing spots for, you know, $20 if you're lucky.
Yeah, $20.
Like, dude, overall, you are losing money. So if you're doing it for money, you're already in trouble, because you'll never, and even if you do make money, you'll never make like killer, you're not gonna make like startup IPO money. You're not gonna make like Slack, you know, whatever they sold Slack for, that kind of money.
Yeah.
So like, if you're doing it for money, you're already like, it's already, you know, your whole vibe is off,
because
you won't be able to, you know. If you just do it because you love doing it, it's like just crazy, crazy people running around.
With a lot to say. People have a lot to say.
Yeah. But isn't that really cool? Even if it's not stand up, aren't you guys, I'm always more attracted to people who are doing things not for money, even if it's not stand up.
I mean, that's why I'm broken, is because of that. Is that like, you know, I always think, I wish I cared about money. Well, I mean, well, I care about money. I mean, I care about the things that money can get me.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
fashion. Yeah.
You know, like taking care of my family and shit like that.
Yeah.
But I don't love money. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
I'm like, whatever. It's fine. You know, I it's obviously I don't want to be broke.
That's weird.
It's weird. Yeah. It's weird. And especially, but good for you. But especially as an Asian person, it's super
weird. Good for you. Good for you for overcoming it.
No, it's stupid. No, don't tell me that. It's stupid.
No, it's good.
So
it's a good way to be. It's a good way to be.
No,
yeah.
I'm so stupid.
Yeah. To not be money hungry is good. It's such a relief.
I know. Life it could be so much easier if you were money hungry because it aligns so well with like capitalism.
Right.
So it's just a much easier life.
Yeah. I'm just, I love money, but just with stand up, I just don't.
Yeah.
I'll literally do the, you know, someone will be like, hey, can you headline and blah, blah, blah over here for money? And I'll turn that down to do the one for like no money.
Yeah.
It's because I don't want to mess up the, sometimes I can't do spots because I'm trying to save up for like a big show.
I see. Yeah.
But I'll do the free one. Like, I'll like literally just, you know, just, yeah. If you don't put my name on it, I'll do it for free.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Yeah, you always do that.
Yeah.
That's crazy, bro. Yeah. You're crazy.
Everyone's crazy. Everyone doing stand-up.
Yeah.
The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is now streaming on Max. The show, based on the novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen, was created by showrunners Park Chan-wook and Don McKellar and follows a half-French, half-Vietnamese double agent as he struggles with his loyalty and identity after the Vietnam War. Longtime listeners will know that we are huge fans of The Sympathizer. In fact, we've had on author Viet Thanh Nguyen and show writer Ti Ho on the pod before, so go check out those episodes. But first, go check out The Sympathizer. I've been watching the show and it's rad. The show really captures the surrealness, the terror, the experience of being suddenly in a new place where you're never sure who anyone really even is, even yourself. If you want to understand a little bit more about what it's like being a Vietnamese person living in America, go stream it now. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Friends, there are a lot of causes to thinning hair. For me, I was working a lot, out doing comedy, editing and making content, and that was before I needed to come home and be a dad. No wonder I was noticing I was having hair issues. That's when I realized Nutrafol's whole body approach is what I needed. And since I've started using Nutrafol, I've been noticing improved hair growth. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. Your hair is never just about your hair, and Nutrafol knows that. That's why Nutrafol takes a whole-body approach to hair health, addressing the problems inside to help the hair grow on the outside, supporting your lifestyle, not just your hairstyle. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code ASIAN. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code ASIAN. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code ASIAN.
You've been talking about this on stage too, about you and your wife are going through IVF type stuff.
Yeah, but we are doing it because we're just spoiled. Well, no, this isn't our last chance to have a baby. We're doing it because we're like, oh, we don't want to have a baby right now, and but we want to preserve our options. Yeah, so we're not the, we're not the like charity case. We're not the pity us.
Right.
We're the we're just assholes who are trying to push the curve back.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah.
So we froze some eggs and embryos, and I got to learn a lot about it, which is interesting. And whatever, I'm not being sponsored, but like Langone, New York.
Great.
When I go in there, again, very privileged to be able to do that, right? IVF.
Yeah.
It's a privilege, you know, financially, you need to be pretty secure to do it. We go into Langone Hospital, it feels like half of New York is there.
Mm.
Super busy. And they have it down to a T.
Mm.
Like the process, you go in, you scan your phone, you go in, they do it. Everything is for something that's quite complicated. They've really kind of taken out all the pain points.
Mm.
So, you know, anyone looking into it. And it's also not crazy money, you know, it's not.
It used to be, I think, worse, and it's gotten a little better.
So. Yeah.
Insurance is like starting to take care of it.
Yeah,
I'm a Mount Sinai guy.
Yeah, that's
so.
Right. I was like, you were.
I'm Team Mount Sinai.
You wear the merch? Yeah.
Although my son is his primary carrier, the NYU guy. So.
Oh, No. But you guys know IVF, right?
We did IVF.
Oh, you did IVF?
Yeah. I got a whole like 20 minutes of IVF.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah. And then that was like, it was for us, it was like one of those things that was like our last shot.
Our last shot. Okay.
We got to do it. You know what I'm saying? So, but it worked and it was awesome.
Amazing.
But it was, you know, I'm sure you talk about this. It's just so blatantly crazy how different the women's experience is versus the man's.
I was going to say.
Man's experience is like, let me check my calendar so I can tell you when I can jerk off.
The
women's one is like, I have to inject and like change my body chemistry.
You know,
do all sorts
of
things.
It's very crazy.
It's crazy at times.
And I guess the mentality is different based on like why you're doing it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. For us, there was definitely not the air of desperation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, luckily, maybe you should ask Hannah about it, but like, I don't think we were like feeling like it was a last chance or anything.
Yeah.
We were like, oh, this would be a cool bonus if we get this.
Yeah.
You know, and
that's cool.
And we also learned a lot about our, I guess, reproductive health, like where we are. So that was good.
Yeah.
Did you read about, I learned this and maybe I heard you talk about it, was when they have to do analysis of your sperm.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, Mike, you've got 95% non-functioning. And I was like, damn, that's bad. And they're like, no, normal is 90% non-functioning. So you're only just a little worse than normal. And I was like, even a regular healthy guy, most of the sperm isn't good.
Oh.
And they're like, yeah, most of the sperm sucks. And
I was really?
Like,
I didn't even know
I didn't
that.
Know about. Maybe they were just telling me that.
Yeah.
Just they're like, you're
yours
okay.
Sucks. Yeah. I remember because I refused to do 23andMe because I didn't want to know.
Really? I also don't want to do it. Why?
I want to know my heritage, but I don't want to know my health situation.
Oh.
And I'm scared they'll tell me my health stuff. So it's like, you know, a fortune teller, like trying to like, here's the future. Yeah. You're like, I don't want to know. I don't tell it. Because I can't change it anyway.
Yeah.
And so I refuse to do it. But then when you're doing this thing, they automatically tell you what diseases you're, you know. And I'm like, what the how the fuck did I get like, like what's it called again? The two genes, but it's recessive. I have a recessive gene for Tom's Wilson's disease, which is a copper poisoning thing.
It's,
I mean, I'm recessive, so I don't have it.
Right.
And, you know, Hannah doesn't have it.
Right.
Doesn't have a recessive gene. So, you know, unlikely that the kid will have it. But I was pulling all this stuff and I didn't want to know any of this.
It's so wild.
Yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. So I'm supposed to sit here and tell you what I would do if I had an extra hour a day, and I've been thinking about it for a little bit, and it's tough. Maybe I do more jujitsu, maybe I'd podcast more, or maybe I'd just try to get like 50 more minutes of sleep and then 10 more minutes of scrolling mindlessly through my phone, and then I'd feel guilty about wasting my magical hour. I guess that's the thing. It's hard to figure out what you do if you had more time, unless you really think about what your priorities are. But therapy is one way to do just that. Figure out your priorities so you can put them first in your life. I've done therapy and I've used what I've learned from therapy to help me understand what my priorities are and what my values are. For me, it wasn't like a magic bullet, but the more I learned about myself, the more I've learned to understand my values, and honestly, the happier I've become. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can always switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/asian today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/asian. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should your payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I know I could definitely use that money from EarnIn because I've got a really fancy special birthday dinner for my wife coming up. And let me tell you, Korean barbecue is not cheap. EarnIn would help me make sure we had a great time and could order that extra order of tripe. Nice. Make EarnIn a part of your financial routine and join EarnIn's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about EarnIn, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download EarnIn today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type Asian under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Asian under podcast. Subject to available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
How much we know. Well, I didn't do 23andMe because I didn't want them to have my data.
Oh.
I'm so scared.
Why?
Of like them like doing, like selling it to like.
But let them sell it.
I don't want them to sell it.
Let them make some money.
No. Who's them?
But are you thinking of IVFing?
Or? Well, yeah, I'm like.
Or whatever,
so,
sorry, freezing.
IVFing. Yeah, I'm 32 now. Uh-huh. And so now I'm like entering a period where I'm like, I would like to.
Oh,
and
man.
I used to be at Google, would they cover
yes.
it? Part of me like yeah. wants to go back to a tech job just to cover it. Because it's like probably $20,000.
Yeah. Yes.
The yeah, procedure yeah, right. just to yeah. freeze. And I was like, well, you know, that's kind of expensive.
Do you have a, would you freeze embryos or eggs?
Eggs.
Yeah, eggs, right? Yeah. yeah. Then like, yeah. If you listen to one podcast, you'll freaking go and do it because they scare the crap out of you because they go like women after 30 is a declining.
You yeah. see the chart and yeah. it's so yeah. scary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, I gotta get going like
yeah,
now.
You gotta freeze eggs now. Yeah, and then it puts so much pressure on you to go and do
yeah,
it.
Which, exactly. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I've definitely been thinking about it now. Like yeah. we're just, my friends are all like entering the age, but none yeah. of us want to have kids yet.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. I think it's weird. I think we're also losing the generational battle, right? To the boomers.
What do you mean?
Just like there's a lot of boomers. There's a lot of fucking old people, man. And like,
yeah.
and still in charge.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
And
yeah.
so it's like, I saw this in Australia. Mm-hmm. You can't let these old people fucking dominate.
Yeah. yeah.
It's bad for the culture yeah. and it's bad for society.
Totally.
When these old people are fucking there and then we're not, you know.
We're yeah. not having enough kids yeah, we're to not like to, bounce yeah. it out. But yeah. we're going to be the old people soon. You know, Gen
yeah,
Z thinks we're the old fucks.
Yeah.
yeah.
But hopefully we're better old people than the boomers were.
God, I hope so.
I
mean, I was like watching videos of like Chuck Schumer talking and I was like, he's not yeah. even the oldest
yeah,
of the
he's
old.
Not the oldest and this dude is already ancient.
Yeah, he's eight, and I'm like, you gotta retire. Like, go enjoy
it's
life.
Too many fucking old people.
Yeah,
just go sit
life.
Down. I'm not saying you gotta die, but just
yeah,
go
yeah.
lie down.
Go sit
yeah.
down.
Go
just
sit down.
Down.
Go look at
just
some
sit
trees.
Down.
Grab a chair, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking sit down. They won't let go.
I know, but I'm like, well, don't you want to let go? I guess they're all like probably egomaniacs.
Yeah,
but like,
I don't know.
Sit down and like look at a tree.
I don't know if it's a bad draft class for the. You yeah. know, the Gen X,
yeah.
or it's the, they just, the boomers are too strong.
Totally. There's a lot of them. There's yeah. a lot more of them.
There's more of them, and they like, you know,
they also
stubborn.
Like, it was yeah. like the perfect time for
yes.
them to
yeah.
be born to like absorb all of the productivity.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, money.
No,
you know
these
what I'm
boomers
saying?
Are a problem.
They were yeah. out there. They like were buying houses for like, you know,
yes.
minimum on
$4.
Yeah, you know,
yeah.
like I'm a waitress at yeah. a diner and I have three apartments.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. And they yeah. can't freaking, they couldn't even plug in this phone into that charger if
yeah.
you ask them to, but they can goddamn dominate the world.
Like, it's for real.
Yeah.
So, because I was reading an article about how like the Chuck Schumer level is like not even like they're close to junior or whatever. Like junior
oh,
is
that's
like
so funny.
65 year old.
They're like, junior boomers.
Yeah, they're like juniors. Like you're 65. Like yeah. go
wow.
live yeah. life.
Damn.
Because the most senior are like mid 80s.
Yeah, mid 80s is too old.
It's too old,
guys.
No, dude, that's you're just hitting your. You could run for president. You know,
I can't hold a conversation with that person. I know that.
Yeah, dude, they can't hold a conversation with anybody.
I know.
But it's also like, is this the Tom Brady thing where it's like the science has
advanced.
Extended their careers by so long? Where they, you know what I mean?
Wait, have I told you that Tom Brady and I had this same childhood orthodontist?
Oh, you're from San Mateo?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
wow,
that's cool.
You know San Mateo?
Yeah, I love Tom Brady.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't
and
know
also,
you were a Tom Brady
he knows
fan.
He loves orthodontists.
Yeah, you know that my orthodontist was Dr. Landucci.
And also, whenever I go to San Francisco, I just stay in San Mateo.
That's so
do
random.
You really?
Yeah,
that
that's the
heck. That's such a Ronnie move.
That, wait,
I
why,
feel
though?
That, dude.
Because it's like just night, like
yeah,
quieter.
Sure.
It's not. It's in between. Because whenever I go to San Francisco, I have to go to
San Jose. Yeah.
So I'm just like yeah. just in between. And,
oh,
yeah.
wow.
So I just end up going there. There's good jujitsu in San Mateo.
There, yeah. Did yeah. you go to the Planet Fit? I mean, not Planet Fitness. The 10th
Planet.
Planet?
No, I don't do 10th Planet.
Oh, you don't do Planet
Fitness?
Yeah,
Planet? I don't.
Why
yeah. I just don't know what they're doing.
It's like, the same
I,
thing.
No, but I don't do no gi. So I.
Oh, you don't do no gi?
Yeah, I just do gi.
And now we've entered the
yeah,
now we're getting the awesome part.
Yeah.
I classically shut down any conversation. conversation about jujitsu.
So yeah, you should. It's super nerdy.
You don't do nogi? Why not? Why don't you do nogi?
I just don't think I'm athletic enough to do nogi.
You have to be a little more athletic.
And it's just, you know, it's just a bunch of Division II wrestlers.
That's
like,
not true.
Like, yeah, it's people that taking out their week on you and their like college dreams. And it's like, yeah, I can't, you know, I can barely do jiu-jitsu. I can't do jiu-jitsu and wrestle somebody.
Yeah.
So I rather just do gi. Just slows it down for me.
It does slow it down. Yeah, but I feel like with the gi, it's like there's so much control and pulling.
Yeah.
Like it's so tiring. Whereas, like, no matter how bad a position you get into no-gi, shut up.
The way that I full disengage
is that
my brain shut down.
Yeah.
It's like everybody's like a wet seal, right? So,
yeah.
Like, you can't, like, be held down that long. You can always get out.
Sure.
You'll always be able to get out.
Sure.
You'll never be in a bad position long enough. I mean, you know, of course you can, but, like, you just have a fighting chance all the time.
Really?
I think. It was, like, in gi, like, if somebody puts you in side control and they have, like, all the things in place, forget it. You're just like,
sure,
I'm going to stay here
forever.
Sure,
but I think with gi, this is fair to say, there's more techniques.
There's more options, yeah.
Yeah, there's more options
more
in gi.
More strokes and stuff, more guards are available.
I don't know. I guess it evens itself out.
Huh.
I also like the tradition of it.
I also like to wear the gi. It's a fashion thing.
Yeah, appropriating Jenny's culture.
Yeah. Right? And now I'm in. Once you said fashion, I was like, oh, that's
What's is it weird? Is it weird? Like, how Japanese are you?
I'm pretty Japanese. My mom is from Japan. Like, I have family in Japan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So when you see, like, these grown men wearing gis, is it weird? Is it weird as a Japanese person to be like, what the fuck are these guys wearing?
It's that weird. I think that's like the least weird thing that people take from Japan.
Okay. That's a great point.
Do you know what I mean?
That's a great point.
Like, that's so funny.
Like,
that's so funny.
I am like dating as a Japanese woman.
Uh-huh.
It's a whole thing.
Oh, why? They all think they have like...
Yeah, it's like people meet... Like, there's certain people who are too excited to talk about it. And then you're like...
Oh, talk about what? Japanese culture?
Like Japanese culture.
What is the thing they hit you with first? What's usually...
I love Naruto.
I
love you guys are so respectful.
Oh yeah. Well, one time I had an Uber driver that was just like, oh, you Japanese people like all love drinking so much, like blah blah, and then like was like telling me about Japanese culture.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're a white British guy.
Well,
I mean, we're colonizers too, but like you're really colonizers. But yeah, I was just like that vibe. Like people tell me what Japanese culture is. It's okay. Like we don't need to talk about that.
Right.
You know how there's some things that just work great together? Like me and Ginny, your two favorite hosts from your favorite Asian podcast? Well, what about the perfect duo when it comes to growing your business? That's you and Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. That's a lot. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Asian, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Asian now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Asian.
Did you watch Shogun?
No, I actually watched episode 2 today.
Yeah.
But it's just really a little violent.
Oh, damn. I can't stand violence. Like I can't watch a single minute of Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
but
that's
what
I can. But
you
I can
like
watch.
Shogun?
I can watch Shogun. Yeah,
I guess it's like knife cutting stuff. Game of Thrones is like exploding heads.
Game of Thrones is like raping
and
like
rape,
torture.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
But like Shogun, I don't even recall anyone being violent.
I just watched a bunch of people get stabbed.
Oh,
maybe it doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
That's for you.
That's like Shogun's thing is like stabbing people.
Stabbing people.
Totally.
Slashing
that's
people.
How he became Shogun.
Yeah.
But, wait, can I ask my jujitsu question?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, and it's such a Jenny flavor way to ask.
This is a great Jenny way to ask, talk about jujitsu. So yeah. I'm very excited about this.
I'm curious about this gi thing, but yeah.
Okay. What is Mike's jujitsu style or personality? Like the way he does
it? We train sometimes together.
Oh, I mean, I don't know what he is in general, but with me, I think he's very controlled.
Okay.
He's very controlled. Yeah, he's very skilled and he's very controlled.
Oh, yeah. You're skilled. Oh,
I feel so vulnerable right now.
Yeah. It's compliment.
It's like hearing your own eulogy.
He's not rushed. He's not rushing.
I see.
But that's with me because I'm not as good as him. So when
that's
you roll,
not true. Why don't say that?
when you roll with someone who's not as good as you, you can be.
I see.
Calmer and controlled because it's like I'm never going to. Get the advantage on him because he knows what I'm doing before I'm doing it, so he can he's never under threat.
I see.
So he's very calm.
I don't feel that's true. The last couple times we trained, I think you tapped me the last time you trained.
I've never seen him under pressure before because I can't put him under pressure.
I see. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I don't know anything. What is your read of Ron's style personality?
I would say that it is a lot like his comedy where it is he's really, really almost like academic about it.
Oh.
But there's an underlying rage that is informing.
Wow.
Because you're like connecting a lot of dots. You did a podcast YouTube show with Diego.
The only one who watched it, I guess.
I loved it. I was like, this is awesome. It was so good. Yeah. But it was like, because like you were connecting all these things, because you also talk about Wing Chun, which I make fun of you for, but you were like connecting all the dots, you know, and like whenever you and I, we roll and then afterwards we talk about it, you know, when we're spooning and then like, you're like, oh, well, you know, you ever think about this and that? Yeah, exactly. But like you talk about it in a way that's very, you know, you're like thinking about like the meta things about it, like how are things like connecting to each other, which I think most people don't think about.
Wait, you mean connecting jujitsu moves or connecting like outside jujitsu,
like concepts just in general? So you like within the moves in jujitsu, but then also like outside of the jujitsu context.
But then
you also you're always like doing like crazy shit on me. Like I remember one time you were like whispering some Vietnamese words
to me.
And I was like, what did you say? And then like you like were using that to like sweep me, and I was like what the fuck. And you're like, hey.
I talk a lot of shit.
That's not surprising. Which is so funny. Yeah. And I'm just
only
like,
to people I know.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. But it was just like, you're like a little imp. You're just here to cause mischief, bro.
Yeah. I just do it for fun anyway. I'm not trying to fight people.
Right.
I'm not trying to fight people, period. It's just for fun anyway. Like, it's always very interesting when you do it with people who are trying to fight people. Because
I bet you there's a lot of people like that, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of people like that, yeah. There's a lot of people who are taking out their week on you.
Yeah.
There's some people who are that they use every ounce of strength in their entire body to fight you, and which is theoretically correct, but like you wouldn't do that in any sport. You learn how to pace yourself, right?
Yeah.
Like what sport do you play?
I used to do water polo.
Wow, damn, that means your trapping water is out of control. You could just
trap like
water for like
forever.
Really,
like if you put me in a pool, I could like be there for a long time, just
right.
Like floating.
Right. But you know, like the more you do it, the more you know how to use timing versus strength.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I don't have that much strength.
Right.
So it's like strategic.
So that's same thing with jujitsu, is like the people who come at you with like everything in their body and it's like you don't need to do that.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Like we could just have fun.
You don't have to kill me.
Yeah, you don't have to kill me.
Yeah.
That's me in any context. I was like, we just have fun. You don't need to kill me.
Oh man, you used to do water polo?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like so small though. So like my strength was just that I could distance swim.
Oh wow.
So I could just like keep kind of going. But I can't go fast, but I had stamina.
You outstand. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's only one
position really, it's whole set. Which is in the middle. And that is the hardest position. That's where you're literally like on someone the whole time. If someone's like grabbing you down here,
yeah,
and you're like in water, and that's always like the strongest player, like the one physically strongest. And you throw it into the middle, and then they chuck it.
Singapore is very good at water polo.
Oh, really?
Singapore's traditionally very good at water polo.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know where water polo comes from.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe it's because they have national service, but that doesn't make sense either because their teams are good even before they enter the army.
Wow.
So, I don't know.
So water polo is a sport there. People play it.
It is. I've never played it. Yeah. I've never even seen it. But all I know is that Singapore will win the SEA Games, Southeast Asian Games every year. Yeah, water polo.
Because like people in America, if you're not on like certain states, like California and like Michigan's maybe the only states that do it. No one else knows what it is.
Yeah.
I did it for because I swam. And then like after swim season's over, then there's water polo season.
Yeah.
And so they were like, okay, we're going to do water polo now. I was like, I didn't sign up for this. Like in swim, there's like the wall, you know, like you go to the wall and you just chill.
Also, no one's touching you.
Yeah, no one's touching me.
Yeah.
And then like that was a ball. And I was like, this sucks.
It is two different things.
And I'm just like, and like all the, you know, all the guys named Todd were really good at it.
Yeah.
And
I know. Like, they're all like big white guys.
Dude. And you
touching,
know.
Touching it in the water. So like, don't touch me.
I know. It's also like, I mean, like women too, but men, it's like the tiny speedos and like getting just like that ripped. I'm always like, how do you... That sounds scary.
Well, that's why, I mean, I didn't do this because I didn't really play, but like a lot of them, they wear two or three
speedos.
Suits.
Yeah, suits, because they're going to rip
one
it off.
Gets ripped or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
They wear two or three at the
speedos,
same time?
Yeah, at the same time.
Because they'll rip it.
They'll rip them.
Because they're literally like, grabbing you
underwater. They're like grabbing you. Like, you know, you're not supposed to, but like but that, the ref can't see. Do. There's not like an underwater ref who's like, hey, stop doing
that. But if you rip it, you show ref like clearly... You know, someone ripped my...
It's just, you know, it's just the game, baby.
It's just part of the game.
Damn. It's part of the game.
Yeah.
It's
just... People ripping off shorts in water polo.
Yeah, for real.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. I know. We have to get nail checks. They like check your nails before and all that because they know you're going to...
But it's not even a game you could play like now.
Yeah, it's not like... It's not, hey, Roddy, you want to come over and play some water polo?
Yeah, it's such a difficult game to organize.
Yeah, totally.
You need like, what, 20 people? Heavy.
Yeah, like 10 people. Yeah. And like you're...
No, for both teams?
Yeah, it's like five. It's like
five.
Six, maybe 12.
Yeah.
12 people.
Yeah. a pool big enough. Two nets.
Two nets. Yeah. Like, how it has to be a deep pool or like a standard pool?
Yeah, deep pool.
Yeah, like, you can't touch the bottom.
You can't touch the bottom.
Right. So it can't be one of those pools that has like a gradient.
No, it needs to be full.
Yeah, you can play it in New York.
Yeah, nowhere. Yeah, exactly. Literally nowhere. There's not one single place where you can play in New York.
That's such an interesting, like, where did you... How long did you play for?
I played for high school. I was in the Bay Area.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Were you mainly a swimmer? Or were you mainly a polo?
I was a swimmer, and then my swim team was so good, and I was put in the 500.
Oh.
So my training was so hard that I did 2 years and I quit, and I stuck with water polo.
That's
crazy. Yeah. I didn't know you rode the 500.
Yeah, I did the 500.
No. I was
thinking a lot.
Well, I was going to say.
Because you're just in silence for like. Forever.
Yeah, it's more of like a psychological thing because like you're racing for like 15 minutes at a time and you're by yourself and it's like who doesn't go insane first wins or something.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally.
Like if you don't have your mind break.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
You know,
because
right.
You're just in water yourself for that long.
Yeah.
Right. And whereas all the other races.
It's just short.
It's so fast.
You just sprint.
Like,
Yeah. You know? Yeah, in there forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, should we talk about how much we all love visiting Japan?
Finally some topic that I love hearing of like other people talk about.
Do you actually like visiting Japan?
Yeah, I'm going in 2 weeks.
You're going in 2 weeks.
Oh, you're going in 2 weeks?
Yeah.
You're going in 2 weeks?
You go all the time.
I know, I just went in October.
Yeah.
I love Japan.
Yeah,
it's great. And also the yen is really... Their economy is really bad right now.
Yeah, their economy is really bad, thank God.
Yeah. So I'm like going crazy.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, what city do you like going?
I love Tokyo, obviously. My family's in Hiroshima.
Oh, Hiroshima.
So, yeah. I don't love Hiroshima.
I've never been there.
It's I mean, they're famous for one thing.
Yes.
So
they're dumplings, which we all know.
Yeah.
Delicious dumplings.
Yeah, it's their okonomiyaki. It's small. And you like learn the history of that moment and then you kind of... That's it.
Yeah.
I loved Osaka. I went for the first time last fall.
Yeah.
So
I've never
been
to Osaka.
Yeah.
You have?
It's great.
Go all the time.
I heard that
everyone's nice. Really nice.
It's like almost like the New York equivalent. Like people a little bit more gruff to you in a good and bad way.
No, I feel that's more Tokyo.
That's Tokyo.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a outsider pro tip. If you want to go to Kyoto, you stay in Osaka.
Yeah, it's so close.
Right,
because it's
close
way cheaper to stay in Osaka. Mm. It's less crowded with all the stupid tours. You know, the hotels are easier to get.
Yeah.
And it's only like literally, I think like a 12-minute train ride.
Yeah.
Bullet train ride to
it's
Kyoto.
Really close. You could take the local train, it's like 45 minutes.
Yeah, but it's, man, the Osaka is, and it's known for its food.
Yeah,
Osaka
the food is so good.
And Kyoto is beautiful, but then sometimes you get a bit of like just too many, you know, too many
white people in
too many dumb tourists around. So it's good to visit. I love going up the Fox.
Yeah.
The Inari.
Yeah, yeah.
The Thousand Gate.
Kyoto, yeah, that thing is always beautiful. But there's also other stuff you can go up. You know, you don't have to just go to the Inari.
That one.
Yeah. That one from Memoirs of a Geisha. Yeah.
Also, when you go to Kyoto,
running through in the studio.
Whenever you go to Kyoto, though, it's also amazing how many people are doing photo, like tourists, to do kimono and then full professional photo shoot.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm like, wow.
I know.
It's kind of amazing.
It's a bit. But can you give some insight into Japanese culture? Because everyone is super friendly to tourists and guests.
Yeah.
And everyone there, I know I have some friends who are actually from Japan.
Yeah.
And even they are very friendly and respectful.
Yeah.
So obviously there's the highest level of like friendliness, which you walk into a shop as a tourist and they're like greeting you like, "Ohayo gozaimasu."
Yeah.
And then the next level
is pretty good.
And then the next one is the locals who are very friendly,
right.
And they're very respectful. Even as a local, they still exhibit some of that behavior.
Yeah.
So what is the real Japan? What's the like?
Oh, I see.
Are they like? Are they? Is everyone that happy and friendly, or are some people going like fuck? But I just can't understand it.
No, like, they're really that, because that's like, it's everyone is so concerned about how they're being like taken in that everyone is so. Nice.
Yes.
Always. Yes. Pretty much always. Yes. Unless you're really old.
Yes.
And you don't give a fuck anymore.
Yes.
Or you're drunk.
Yes. Someone pushed me out of their way when I was walking in Kyoto for no reason.
Really? And it was a Japanese person?
He was a Japanese person, I assume, and he was like, "I'm around a geisha." And we were just walking, there's plenty of space, and he like shoved me off.
Oh
the
my
way.
God. I feel like there's like everything is like a pressure cooker here.
Sure.
And I feel like the second you like can drink and like whatever, or like you
crazy.
Or something breaks you that day.
Yes.
It's like scary.
It's on,
It's on.
Well, that's what I'm always interested about, this underbelly, because I appreciate a society that keeps it together.
Yeah.
Even if it's for appearances, I'm like, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
I'd rather that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I'm also curious, like, what is the breaking
point? What's
the dirt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
what's the purge
I saw, the purge version. I think we saw the purge version in World War II. But like, the I saw someone in, I think it was Tokyo. It was, I guess it was a pickup attempt, which I've never seen in Japan. A guy trying to pick up a girl.
Uh-huh.
And a Japanese guy trying to pick up a Japanese girl.
Yes. Okay. So it's a domestic, local pickup attempt. You know, and
home
I've never seen that before.
Homegrown.
And it's the girl walking, and the guy would come up and like try to talk to her. And I thought they knew each other, but the girl was trying to ignore him.
Yeah.
And he kept trying to like, I guess,
where
ask for her
this?
Number. It was just on the street.
Oh my God.
And he kept following her, and she kept having to try to ignore him.
Yeah.
And it was a pickup in a way which you wouldn't see in America.
Mm.
Like, you would see a guy harassing a woman, unfortunately, in America. But this was like, the guy was still politely harassing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Can I give you a number, please? I don't know what he was saying, but it was very, you know, like,
I feel
polite
like
harassment.
For real though, but I think there's there's such deep-seated sexist structures in Japan.
Sure.
And so they like marry that with the quiet, like you have to be quiet. It's like creepy. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a lot of stalking in Japan for that reason.
Yes.
Because you
don't know how to deal with.
So like you do it in this like weird quiet way, which is almost like I rather have people yelling
just
in New York at this point.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the other part is because it's so like everyone's dealing with their own stuff and you keep it like here, people don't necessarily come and help you, at least in Tokyo. It might be different in different like cities, but I would say Tokyo like, that like I don't think anyone would go and be like, "Are you okay?"
Right.
And like try to help the woman.
Sure, I can see that.
Yeah. Whereas in New York, there's like I feel like someone's gonna come up and like try
people will band together in New York once it hits a certain point.
Yeah, like once.
But
the
before
volume.
That, it's a very high tolerance. But once it hits a certain point, people will band together and literally try to stop people with guns.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it takes a lot.
That is so
it takes
real.
A lot, though. Yeah, it takes a gun.
Like,
yeah,
all right, fine.
It takes but a
fine,
gun.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but I feel like Japan is like that. That's the harassment.
There you go.
Yeah, it's interesting to see. Yeah, real Japan is always interesting to me.
There is still a lot of like men, women, sexism stuff.
Yeah,
I'm like, when people ask me, would you live in Tokyo?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, probably not.
Yeah.
It's way safer and cleaner and better, but I feel like I would just struggle more
in
just
Tokyo.
Being a woman.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, thank you.
So.
I like this question. You want to ask this question?
The last one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So your on-screen persona or like your on-stage persona?
Are you good with time?
Yeah, I'm good, man.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Your on-screen persona tends to be kind of curmudgeon-y.
Yeah.
So what is something that like fans would be surprised to find out that you love? Not jujitsu, something else.
not jujitsu.
We can't talk about jujitsu anymore.
Something surprised. They would be surprised.
Yeah, that you love.
I don't know. This is more a question for Hannah, I guess. Yeah. She's always surprised by the stuff I do like.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah, we need Hannah on the
like
call.
A lot of. I love Taylor Swift. Is that
you do? Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
I think she's great. Yeah.
Have you? Did you go to her to Eras?
I didn't go to Eras.
Oh, okay.
But I was a Taylor Swift fan before the Eras thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so I
where
love
did
Taylor
it
Swift.
Turn? Which album?
No, no. I still. Oh, where did I get on board? Yeah. Probably 1989.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And everyone's like shitting on me for like only jumping on at 1989, which is like the most basic.
A lot of people jumped on in 1989.
Yeah, 1989. Yeah. But yeah, I'm 1989 was great.
Wow.
Yeah, I love Taylor Swift. Yeah.
That is surprising.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like,
I'm hearing you speechless. Say it, and I'm like, this is AI. This is fucking real.
Yeah, yeah. Love Taylor Swift.
Wow.
I love retro gaming. Is that like a weird thing?
Retro gaming?
Like,
yeah.
What,
see
like
that.
Pong?
No. Like playing like all the games which from my era, but I never could play as a kid.
Yeah.
You know? So I just go back and play it now. All
I
this
see.
Stuff that I was like, oh yeah, I wish I had that game. And then I just go back in.
Wait, what's an example?
Like, even as basic as Super Mario 3 on Nintendo Entertainment.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I never had Nintendo, so
right.
I never got to have it.
It is kind of crazy because, like, if you could go back and tell your 14-year-old self that one day you could have every single game
yeah.
And it could all run off of like something you hold in your hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which would be, I mean, back in the day, those like each game was like $40.
Yes.
Which in like today dollars is like $80.
Right. Yes.
So
and
that
now we're judging it by like you're downloading the entire ROM set for a console. And it's like, you know, 1,000 over whatever. Every game ever made for Game Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and you'll be missing like one or two and you'll be like, fuck.
This is stupid.
It's stupid. Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
I don't want to be alive.
I got to spend 1 hour now looking for this. Yeah. But yeah, it's a retro. I don't know. Is that unexpected?
That's less unexpected than Taylor Swift. Yeah, I think Taylor Swift really was. Yeah.
I'm a lover of people who make stuff. So I got no hatred for any artists.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what do you listen to music-wise? Yola Tango.
Yeah, Yola Tango. I listen to like a lot of, eclectic, very eclectic.
Okay.
I listen to everything, jazz, hip-hop, R&B. Over the pandemic, I actually went backwards through the Rolling Stones 500 Greatest Albums.
Oh, wow.
From order. And just to, I never got a music education.
Yeah.
I'm the guy who like listened to singles and not whole albums.
Yeah,
and so now like, listening to that Rolling Stones thing really just opened up the whole appreciation for music.
Yeah. That's really cool, but also what an academic way to go about it.
Oh, yeah.
Very Ronnie Chang.
Yeah, you can hear, it's cool. You can hear all the influences. You can hear songs that are like, oh, that's where they got this from.
Yeah.
And not just obviously hip hop samples, but I'm talking like direct influences of like, there's like the Stone Roses, I think, or whatever. In the UK in the 70s sounds like Melbourne now.
Oh,
like Tame Impala, all that stuff is all British 70s stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So not to take anything away from Tame Impala, just like that sound. I'm like, oh, where have I heard this?
Got
it sounds so modern.
Yeah.
It sounds so Brooklyn sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So it's interesting. Interesting to see the influences.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So it's a tip
to do if you're sick of your music collection, just go to the Rolling Stones 500 Greatest Albums and then just go backwards or forwards, doesn't even matter.
Yeah,
you know? And just listen to everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like, what do you listen to? I feel like I don't know what you listen to.
I listen to, okay, so my son really likes Jungkook.
Oh yeah.
He loves Jungkook.
Yeah, I forgot you're a BTS guy.
So I love I feel I was such a failure because I didn't realize they all went into the military.
Yeah.
And until like, I don't know, like right as they left, you know,
I see.
And I was like, no.
Yeah.
So I was really sad about that.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
But Neil really likes it. There's a standing next to you Jungkook with Usher that Neil loves. He loves the video. Uh-huh. He loves the song. He uh-huh. knows what it is. He can't say the word Jungkook featuring Usher. he has like a little like phrase he uses yeah. that I know
to be
he
like
means
he wants
that.
To hear
he wants
it.
To hear it. He likes that.
What's the phrase?
He like makes the cool. sound like it's like Bobo or something like that. But I could just tell that's what he wants. Oh, and so he just like is looking at me in a certain way. I'm like, oh, you want to listen to Jungkook?
That's a cool like 2 year old.
Oh, he's very cool.
Yeah,
but then also like you know Cars the Disney franchise Cars.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like an extended version of the
Life is a Highway. Oh
no, there's like a mini series of Cars featuring one of the characters, and then there's like an extended version of the song.
Yeah,
and when I play that song, he will just like stop and just like he's like in another world. He's yeah. just like thinking about Cars. It's a banger. It's a banger. I do
that's
like
funny.
That one.
That's funny.
And then, his whole life flashed before his eyes.
Yeah,
his whole 2 years.
That's funny.
And otherwise, I'm just listening to a lot of jazz. So I should probably do what you did.
Yeah, that's like a great way. If you're sick of, I don't know, maybe I don't know if it's a thing of our age or whatever, but like I don't even get sick of your own music collection.
Oh yeah,
you know where you're like, man, how many times can I listen to Ariana Grande? You know, like, and so you put on like something else for and you know the thing about the Rolling Stones 500 greatest albums is even the genres which you don't like, you're listening to like the Michael Jordan of that genre.
So
you're like, oh, I can appreciate this,
right?
Like, ZZ
right.
Top. Oh, this is actually pretty cool. Even Jimi Hendrix is not my genre.
Yeah,
but you listen to Maggot Brain and you're like, oh, I get it now. Like, I get why this dude was huge, you know. So just I gotta admit, some of it is a slog sometimes, if it's, you know, especially if it's like a double album something that you don't, you know. But you know, if you force yourself through it, you get I got way more than I, you know, I mean, I got a lot out of that list.
Did you get through with the whole thing?
I got to a couple hundred, so I'm still going.
That's,
but it's something
so
to do
albums.
Something to do on the, you know, when you're commuting. To Gowanus or whatever.
You can listen to like 6 or 7
albums.
Yeah.
Got a lot done.
You can skip depending on how, you know, like studious you want to be. You can skip through tracks. But I got a lot out of listening, like forcing myself to listen to albums.
Yeah, that is true.
And listening to people's vision for it. And yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
True. All right. Okay, well, thanks for being on the show.
No problem.
Yeah, thank you for coming all the way here.
We're going to try to do this other section if you got like a little time.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. How can our fans find you and your work?
Oh, just go to webs. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
I'm on tour. No, whatever. Kung Fu Panda's out in theaters right now. Go check it out.
Are you in that too?
I'm in that.
You're in everything.
Small role.
You're the way you say it too. You're almost like unfortunately, I'm in all these things. I'm so tired right now.
I love all the projects I'm in. I just don't want to be promoting.
I know you do.
Yeah,
I know you do. You know what I'm saying?
Just promoting it.
But honestly, you like ruin things for me all the time. Like now I can't use Old Spice because of your commercial. I'm like, oh, this fucking guy. I can't support you any more of my money.
Old Spice. Yeah. It's nice to not care about money. I'm just doing it for the love.
You love Old Spice.
I'm such a huge fan of Old Spice.
Dude, there should have been an Old Spice Dune tie-in. Come on.
Oh my God, yeah, Spice.
Spice. I'm sure they pitched it.
You think Old Spice pitched it?
Oh, 100%.
So the fuck? Should have done it.
And anyway. Then Dennis Nirvana was like, no, we can't have that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good impression.
All right. You can find me on Instagram at NicePantsBro, and you find us on Instagram at Asian on Asian Pod.
And I'm at Jenny Arimoto.
We got stand-up shows, Hack City, April 12th and May 10th. Come check us out. And that's it. Thanks, Ronnie.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye.